I am so praising the Lord for how he makes things work. The last song we sang, Be Thou Exalted. You know, it talks about God being exalted. It talks about the Lord Jesus Christ as being exalted. It talks about the Holy Spirit being exalted. And that is what my message is about, exalting the third person of the Trinity. So if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to turn to Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter number 15. And out of respect of the word of God, if you are able, please stand in honor of God's word. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter number 15, beginning with verse number 14. Romans 15, beginning with 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you to, in some sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Today I'm going to preach a message called, What's Your Excuse? What is your excuse? If you want to take notes, it's what's your excuse? Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to open your word, Father. Lord, I am humbled to be amongst lovers of you, Lord, that have been on the mission field for many, many, many years. God, preaching the word of God, seeing souls be saved in different countries, different islands. Father, I pray, God, that you would just give my wife and I the opportunity to do that as well. Lord, we're going to the military. They speak English. We don't need to learn a language, but God, you have put a burden on our heart to reach my comrades in arms. And I pray, dear God, that you'll bless that. Father, I pray, Lord, now that you would open our hearts and our minds as the word of God has been read. Father, I pray, God, that you will just speak to us. Help us, Lord God, to be more like Christ. Lord, to be more cognizant, Father, of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Trinity in Scripture. God is a triune God. In fact, the word Trinity is not even in the Bible. But you know what? All throughout Scripture, God is three persons. In creation, in Genesis chapter number 1, verse 26 and 27, it says, And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. Not a monkey, in his own image. I don't see any monkeys in here. So we know how God looks like. How God looks like, not an animal. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were there in creation. You know what also? All three of them are also in the Great Commission. The Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, says in verses 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The Great Commission, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we're all there. What else? Even in Jesus' baptism, Matthew chapter number 3, verse 16. "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water," this is Jesus, "and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." And here comes God the Father. "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Trinity, also in Jesus' baptism. What else? 2 Corinthians chapter 13. They're working together. They work together. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 13. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." You can't separate the Trinity. What else? First Peter chapter 1, verse 2, "They are consecrated. We are consecrated to obey God." Verse number 2 of 1 Peter 1 says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." See that? When you're consecrated to God, you are supposed to be obedient to him. And then the third person of the Trinity, the promise of the Holy Spirit. All three of them in the Trinity. In John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Whom the Father, there it is, the Father and the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And who's saying this? In my Bible, it's red letter edition, which tells me that is Jesus Christ. And verse 26 of John chapter 15 says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Promise of the Holy Spirit. God promises to give the Holy Spirit to those who receive him as their personal Lord and Savior. In 1 John chapter 5, this is all inclusive. Of verse 7 of 1 John chapter number 5 says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word." Who's the Word? John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus Christ, the Word, because in verse 14 it says, and in, let me think, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And that's Jesus Christ. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." You can't separate them. But you know what? We know that God is God. God is God the Father and God the Son. We put so much emphasis on God the Father, God the Son. I'm afraid that we are not crediting or we are not including the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God. And God promises every believer the Holy Spirit. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit." In other words, when one comes to Christ, Jesus is in that person. But you know, when a person is brought to Christ by the soul winner, sometimes we don't introduce that person to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus lives in us if you're saved. Jesus lives in us through the Holy Spirit. The only way that we're going to have victory over sin is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is very, very important to us. And as I look at this, and as I look at the scripture that I read in Romans chapter 15, I see two things that the Holy Spirit gives us. Look at it. In Romans chapter 15, verse number 16, it says, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. You know what that means? The Holy Ghost. We are sanctified by the Holy Ghost. What does sanctification mean? It means being set apart. Being set apart, being consecrated by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost sets us apart to do God's will. In fact, that's number one. He sets us apart to know His will. The new believer needs to know that the Holy Spirit is in him. Because if that new convert is left alone after he is saved, like if the soul winner says, you're saved now, praise the Lord, go and sin no more, how is he going to know that he can have victory? Through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. So, but in this case, we are sanctified or set apart by the Holy Ghost, number one, to set us apart to know His will. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Some testimony about myself. I was saved in 1979. And when I got saved, I started serving the Lord. In fact, from the time I got saved, the time I got married in 1981, my wife and I started serving the Lord together. And here I am, go forward now to 56 years old in 2016. God used a man named Richard Harper. He's an evangelist. He was at Maranatha. And he preached a message that spoke to my heart. And I believe at that time, that's where God called me to the ministry. You know, 56 years old, from the time I got saved as an 18-year-old man till 56 years old, we served the Lord again, my wife and I. But you know what? That was not the will of God. I wanted to be in the center of God's will. In fact, a Christian should be in the center of God's will. The most Christian that is so miserable is someone who's not serving God in His will. And I wanted to do more. So in November 2016, I heard a message and I surrendered myself to the ministry. Then I started praying to the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do in your ministry? And in August of 2017, during a missions conference, Brother Woodfin from a church there in Hawaii, he preached on Romans chapter number 10, where we're supposed to be sent out by the church or be called to go into the lands and preach. And I believe right then and there, God called me to preach at 57 years old. And in 2018, during Maranatha Baptist Church 50th anniversary, it was also the BIMI Southeast Asia Missions Conference. This is where I met you weren't there, were you? I met many military missionaries there in, I forgot their name, sorry, I can't remember their names, but there I met what's his name? Can't think. Anyway, right then and there, after hearing many, many messages, God called me to military missions. Now at 58 years old, retiring from the Air Force, retiring from civil service, my wife retiring from civil service, we know now what God's will for us is. So we are set apart to know the will of God. But you know what? A lost person cannot know the will of God. A lost person cannot know the will of God. Why? Because a lost person doesn't want to know the will of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 11 says, "There is none that seeketh after God." Our nature is not to include God in our lives. Only when you have the Holy Spirit will speak to you through the Word of God, through men of God, and show you what you should do in life. From the time 56 years old, I asked God, "God, what is the purpose of my existence?" And he told me, "Preach the word. Go out. Go to the military missions. You were serving in the military for 24 years. Go back to your people, the comrades in arms." Secondly, he not only sets us apart or consecrates us to know the will of God, but secondly, he sets us apart to be different. To be different. The Holy Spirit sets us apart to be different. In John chapter number 17, John chapter number 17, John 17, verse 15, John 17, verse 15, it says here, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." You know what that tells me? It tells me that the earth is not our home. We're just a passing through. But you know what? As we pass through this earth, we need to be different. We need to be different people out there. Even especially during COVID-19, how do people see you? Were you fretting? Were you scared? We're all scared, yes. But outwardly, did they see that your trust was not in God? In fact, living out there, especially what's going on right now, we need to be different. Because if we're not different, how will people come to Christ? How will people say, "Hey, I want what they have"? If we are only separated, or if we are only holy here in church, but when you go out the door, you live like the devil, how are people going to desire what you have? It's very important. We are Christians 24/7, not only in church, not only where we work, but even on the streets, everywhere you go, they need to see Jesus in you. You have the power to do that because you have the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, first, he sets us apart to know his will, and he sets us apart to be different. And thirdly, he sets us apart to be holy. In fact, in Revelation, the angel called Jesus holy, holy, holy. But you know what Jesus said in the New Testament? "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He didn't say be really, really holy, just like Jesus is holy, holy, holy. He just wants us to have that one word, "Be ye holy." And we have that means to do that. And that is through Jesus Christ. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. It says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, set yourself apart, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." One key word in that verse is defile. Defile. What is out there in the world should not come here in the church. Should not. Hatred, prejudice, everything and anything that Satan loves, we should not bring in the church. In fact, As parents, those of you who are parents or used to be parents, if you have grandchildren or if you have children, you bring your work or your the rudiments of this world home. How in the world are your children going to want what you want if they were at the age of accountability? They're not. They're not, because they want someone to see an example of Jesus Christ. We all need to be examples, because Jesus was our example all through Scripture. So we are set apart to know His will. We are set apart to be different. We're set apart to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 says, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation." The word conversation here in the Greek is anastrophe, which is behavior. Our behavior should be holy. If you turn to Colossians chapter number 3, Colossians chapter number 3, these are things that we need to take away or put off from our life, and these are things that we should put on in our life. In Colossians chapter number 3, beginning with verse 1, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him. Mortify," or deaden, destroy, "therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off these things: anger," what is anger? "Vengeance, indignation, wrath," what is wrath? "Passionate fierceness, malice, evil wickedness, blasphemy, evil speaking, filthy communication," which is vile communication, "morally wicked." Verse number 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. When you became a Christian, when the Holy Spirit came in you, you became a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, we read about it, old things in these passages should be put away, and all things are become new." Verse number 10, here's what we need to put on: "And I put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, long-suffering." What is long-suffering? Having long patience, not with each other, but especially have patience with those who are lost, because they're not going to get saved right away. But keep on praying for them. And one of these days, the Holy Spirit's going to prick their heart, and they're going to get saved, just like he did to Paul on the road to Damascus. What else? Verse number 13, "Forbearing one another, forgiving one another." And then 14, it says, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Charity. What is charity? Charity is love in action. There's three types of love. There's agape love, which is God's love. There's eros love. There's phileo love. But charity here in the Bible is God's love, agape love. What is it? It's unconditional love. In fact, that's how we got saved. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so what? Loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So if you're here tonight and you're not saved, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that if the Spirit is not in you, you are none of his. You need to be saved tonight. You'll belong to God. You'll belong to Jesus. You belong to the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit will live in you so that you can live the way God wants you to live. You can live the will that God has for you in your life. And then, secondly, not only are we sanctified or set apart by the Holy Ghost, but secondly, through the Holy Ghost, we have his power in our lives. Let me ask you a question. Do we need the Holy Spirit's power to live in this world? We do. We do. We cannot serve God without his Spirit. Serving God is a holy work. Holy work, and we need the Holy Spirit's power to perform the work God has called us to do. We need the Holy Spirit in everything that we do. Whenever we make decisions, a pastor needs the Holy Spirit. A missionary needs the Holy Spirit. A father needs the Holy Spirit. A mother needs the Holy Spirit to raise the children. Everything that we do, here in the church or even outside, we need the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What does it say? Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In other words, without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we have no power. We cannot do what God has called us to do. In John chapter 14, verse 16, it says, And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever. Forever. Not only salvation is everlasting, but when the Holy Spirit is in you, he'll never leave you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So let's all appropriate. Let's all use the Holy Spirit to live the way God wants us to live. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you can. You can tonight. Surrender yourself to God in salvation. Realize that you're lost and you're heading to a devil's hell. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can have that eternal life. You can have that everlasting life. You can have the Holy Spirit in you. But we who are saved, let's always remember, when you lead someone to Christ, introduce him or her to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in you, and you've served many, many years on the mission field. Praise the Lord for that. Continue serving God. Because as long as the Holy Spirit is in you, you can do the impossible. So remember, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, he will never leave us nor forsake us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. It says, let's all turn there. It says that we don't belong to ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, we don't belong to ourselves. God saved you for a reason. Give yourself to God. Give yourself to God. He'll give you the power to do what he's called you to do. With everybody's head bowed and eyes closed. The Holy Spirit. Can't live without him. The Holy Spirit. He's the one who helps us to do what God has called us to do. You're not saved tonight? Get saved tonight. I plead with you. Get saved. The Holy Spirit will move into your life. And you'll please God. And you'll be able to do what God has called you to do. Pastor.